This Netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
On today's episode, we cover Gamefly's top 10 games of 2011.
And how will doing the Wookiee Boogie make you a better Jedi?
And of course, Mass Effect 3's pre-order goodies and much, much more.
Start.
You're listening to Brandon and Jesse's 8 Bits. I'm your host, Jesse, the level 80 podcaster rogue. And joining me today is Brandon, the man who always finds Princess Toadstool in the castle.
Here we go!
All right. This is the newest gaming-only addition to the 8 Days of Geek Network. So hope you guys really like gaming. Otherwise, you might be in the wrong classroom. But hey, stick around anyway, because I'm sure you'll enjoy the antics.
Antics. Always with the antics.
Always with the antics. All right, a quick introduction. I'm Jesse, the editor-in-chief of 8 Days of Geek. Joining me is, of course, Brandon. He is a senior editor and pretty much my right-hand man.
That's right.
If he handles all the right-hand stuff, you know.
If Jesse were Toe Jam, I'm Earl.
Or you're the comic book reference. What's the goon's character? What's the other guy?
Frankie.
Frankie, yeah, you're the Frankie to my goon. That might be the other way around. I'm not sure. Anyway.
Well, I don't know. I was thinking about the Mario one. I'm like, well, I think I'm clearly Mario.
Well, obviously. Oh, with that mustache. All right. Well,
I don't even know if you'll be Luigi. I think you're more like,
I know.
You're my Toad to my Mario. You know what I mean?
Thanks.
On this podcast, get you a mushroom hat and send you on your way.
On this podcast, it will be a monthly podcast covering all the gaming news that happened during the month. It will be roughly half an hour to 45 minutes. That might be longer sometimes around E3, stuff like that, when we have a lot of news to cover. So hopefully you guys enjoy it.
Goes without mention, this first one is going to be a lot of introduction more than stories. So
yeah, all right, Brandon.
For those out there that listen to our old podcast and return to listen to us talk about games of this one, thank you and welcome back. For all those new guys out there listening to it because it's a video game podcast, hey, what's up? How you doing? We got some stuff for you at the end. If you wait around, we'll get your name number and we might give you a call back.
We might call you in the morning. We might not. That's just how it works. That's the gamble you take. Anyway, yours is the first story on the docket.
It's not just video games I play. You know what I mean?
Oh, nice. Don't hate the player. Hate the game. Hate is going to be hating. I got all of them. Anyway, I don't normally say them because people scoff at me when I do. But
I wonder why.
The first story on the docket is yours. So I'll let you go ahead and... I'll let you go ahead and start. Tell me how I can dance like a Wookiee.
Well, sadly, you can't be a Wookiee, but Wookiee Boogie sounds better.
It does.
The thing about Star Wars The Old Republic was that, you know, obviously there's always going to be a glitch of something that big. It's huge. And people haven't really seen a glitch yet, and it's been out for a little bit now. But the newest glitch, which is freaking hilarious, is that someone discovered that while dancing... you can't receive damage.
That's actually pretty common in the real world, really. When I'm dancing,
yeah,
I'm invincible.
Yeah, I mean, every time I get in a fight with somebody, if I hit them once, I start to dance, and then they just kind of back off.
Exactly. They're like, oh, crap, he's dancing. I can't hit him while he's dancing.
Exactly. So, I mean, I understand why they're going with the realistic, you know, you can't hurt him while dancing thing.
Yeah.
But... it is very strange that, you know, when you're running around and you're a Jedi or a Sith or you're like, you know, you have your blaster and you're trying to, you know, fight this other group or whatever, or there's a monster and the guys in your party or the guys against you, you know, they'll swing at you and then all of a sudden they just start breaking down, dancing. And you're like, okay.
This
so
reminds,
when you try hitting them, you can't do it.
This reminds me of West Side Story.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It basically is West Side Story. Except in West Side Story, someone actually died, so.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
It's already been fixed. I mean, they jumped into it really quick, but a good friend of mine, we definitely had a lot of fun with that bug going after the world bosses, like the big monsters on each planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just sit there and it takes a very, very long time to beat them at a low level, but you can climb up levels awfully quick when you just dance around them, hit them, dance around. And we always use the kind of sexy dance where they put their hand above their head, because that one's way more funny. It's like there's the one dance. It's like the hands going out, kind of a boogie, you know. That's funny and all, and it's funny to see it from a distance. But nothing's funny when you're fighting somebody then all of a sudden start doing like kind of like stripper moves. It's hilarious. And the world bosses are like just, you know, putting everything they got to try to hurt you, and they can't even face you.
Reminds me of Zoolander. Oh no, they are breakdance fighting.
It's funny. I mean, we'll talk about it in the movie podcast later, but I happen to know that movie incredibly well. It's one of my favorite comedies. Will Ferrell's Mugatu says that. Not a Russian guy. You decided to go with a Russian voice, though. Very interesting.
I thought
to
it
me.
Was the. Well, no.
No.
I thought
it's
it was someone else
Mugatu
said it.
They're breakdance fighting.
That's right. I thought someone else said that.
No, it's just you being weird.
That's
it's funny
me being weird, but that's okay. Because I'm.
I think I randomly use wrong voices all the time too. So
okay.
Anyway,
that's okay.
Stay tuned, video gamers, for stuff like that where
woo-hoo.
Jesse randomly says stuff in Russian accents for no real reason.
If you're
so anyway, that's what I got. What's how about we see what's going on in the world of Mass Effect 3?
Mass Effect, there's nothing happening in Mass Effect. I was lying. No. in Mass Effect, Mass Effect 3, you know, you could start pre-ordering it. I have already, so. Now, there hasn't been any, usually you pre-order, you get a bonus, something, some little goodie, you can download some statue or t-shirt or any number of things. They haven't announced anything official, however, now, BioWare has provided some screenshots and details on the bonuses that you're going to get if you pre-order. So, yippee, we actually get to see what we're going to get now. If you pre-order through GameStop or EB Games in North America, you will earn the N7 Warfare gear. That includes the N7 Valkyrie Assault Rifle and the N7 Defender Armor. If you go through EA Store Origin, which I don't know why you'd be doing that, but hey, that's where you get your kicks, you get them there. You'll get the AT-12 Raider shotgun instead. Now, obviously, if, you know, you get a gun and armor if you go through GameStop or EB, and EA, you only get a freaking shotgun. So, you know, go through GameStop. Why not, right?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah, and all pre-order customers, regardless of where you get the game, you will get the M55 Argus Assault Rifle. Sorry. That's really hard to say. Looking at these guns, they don't really say a whole lot about the guns themselves. They look pretty hot, though. I'm really liking them. We have a link to Cinema Blend, it's Cinema Blend. It's their gaming website, Gaming Blend, for all the screenshots and everything. They did a really good little breakdown of it. So the link is in the show notes. Go ahead, hit it up, and see what you're going to be getting if you pre-order Mass Effect 3.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Who doesn't want a special gun that no one else can have for about 3 months?
Well, you know. You know, they've gotten a lot better about giving you pre-order bonuses and then not putting them on sale later. They used to be really bad about that, though, where they'd give you a pre-order bonus and then, yeah, a couple months later it'd go on sale. But, I mean, you still get it free, so. Free is free.
Free is free.
It
I
is.
Learned that in math.
$0, $0.
Well, you know what? You're on a roll. I'm going to let you continue with this Ravaged. I haven't actually heard much about this, so please enlighten me.
All right. I would love to. I would absolutely love to illuminate your mind with Ravaged. Now, post-apocalyptic games, first-person shooters especially, have been a dime a dozen recently. You've got...
Oh, yeah, we've got Fallout, you got Borderlands, you got Rage.
Exactly. The fact that you can name them all pretty much says they've been pretty plentiful lately.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Ravage.
They're not bad games.
No, just not really. Well, Rage was right on the borderline. It could have been better. But anyway, story for another day. Ravage is a post-apocalyptic co-op FPS. Okay, so it's based very heavily around a multiplayer aspect.
Now, which I like.
Well, you know, what it is basically a more realistic-looking Borderlands is kind of what they're going for here. Now, the guys who are working on this have also worked on titles like Battlefield and Frontline's Field of War, so you know they've got their multiplayer pretty much set. They know what they're doing when it comes to multiplayer. Now, you know, it's basically, excuse me, it's basically things like, you know, you can play on teams to try and beat the game, you can go head-to-head with different people, you know, two-on-one, whatever. It's basically Borderlands for the most part. Now, the really cool thing is the actual art style itself is just outrageous. It looks realistic yet slightly washed out photographically, so it kind of resembles post-apocalyptic, you know, little video. It looks very interesting to me. I'm very excited to see it. It's supposed to launch later this year on Steam, so it's going to be, you know, PC. If they put out a Mac version, that would be fantastic, but usually these things start on PC. So, look forward to that. They don't give you an actual date. All they say is later this year. We'll keep you updated, and when this hits the Steam shelves, hopefully we'll get a copy and start testing it out. Write a review.
All right. The post-apocalyptic games, it's been weird lately. Yeah, I've noticed that we've had a real fascination here in America, especially with anything about the end of the world lately. I guess it's because of the whole 2012 thing. But
I wonder. Just remember, kids, if the world doesn't in fact end on December 21st, right?
Sure.
All right. Well, I think that's I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
On December 21st, just remember, all you have to do is do one of two things. Either learn how to drive every single car on the planet like a NASCAR, or go find John Cusack.
Yes.
Because he knows how to do that, and he can save you. No one can drive a limousine through a building like John Cusack.
Exactly.
I've got
usually you can stop that sentence right at like, but John Cusack changes it up. No one can drive a limousine through a building, except John Cusack.
Well,
so there is that as well.
Just how cool he is. Actually, I really like John Cusack.
I wish that maybe with Ravage, a DLC will let you get your own John Cusack driver.
And a like post-apocalyptic, torn-up limousine.
Exactly.
That'd be great.
Get a Nick Cage there with you as well. He's done a couple of those.
Great. You know who else knocks over structures? Angry Birds. That's right. To get at the pigs. You like that segue? That was pretty good.
That segue was flawless.
Now, Angry Birds, as we all know, is a very popular game. However, up until this Christmas, I did not know how popular it was. You've got to figure lots of people are getting iPads and Amazon Kindle Fires and Nook tablets.
Well,
and all
just
these
new phones and new phones.
New phones like you wouldn't believe. Just a whole bunch of new devices.
Trust me, lots of new phones.
And it turns out that Angry Birds and Angry Birds Rio, all the different versions of it, were downloaded, get this, 6.5 million times on Christmas Day. One day.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That means, when they got their phones, before they even set up their phone, the first thing they did was download Angry Birds.
Exactly. Almost positively. It's ridiculous. But I'm a recovering Angry Birds addict, and I can say it's pretty tempting.
Angry Birds is a gateway game, and
oh yeah,
I actually am into the stupid zombies. That's the one that's
pretty good
on my brain right now.
I've been playing World of Goo for Android.
Ah, World of Goo, yes. World of Zombies is also very fun.
I'll have to check that out.
It's a little fun shooter game.
Good stuff.
Birds. Anyway, Angry Birds is doing really well. Good for those guys.
The bird is the word.
Maybe they'll make less commercials because their commercial with Microsoft or whatever Windows was really annoying. But hey, that's just me.
I like their pistachio commercial, though.
The pistachio commercial was fine.
Yeah.
You said pistachio like it was an Italian. Pistachio. Yeah, you're an Italian guy.
That's how I say pistachio. Like,
it's a pistachio.
How do you say it?
Pistachio.
Really?
Yeah,
I say pistachio.
Pistachio is how the Italians pronounce it.
Well, then I'm cultured.
That's what it is.
Yeah. We'll go with that.
I think you watch too much, what's it called? Master of Disguise. That's his name in that
Peter
movie.
Peter Pistachio. I'm not turtly enough for the Turtle Club.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's bring this back.
That's okay.
All right. Speaking of turtles, I don't know. It has nothing to do with turtles. But Gamefly, I'm sure, has something to do with turtles somewhere. I can relate it if I wanted to take the time. But anyway, let's go through that Gamefly's top 10 list. It's actually pretty cool. I think what we'll do is like the top five of the platforms and ignore the cross-platform one because – I don't know. Well, I don't know. We can do the top 10 of cross-platform. But they're all basically the same. That's why I kind of was forgetting about it.
Yeah, I think we'll do
top five of each system. Sounds good.
I was going to say, we'll do all the cross-platforms, and then how about the top three of each system?
Yeah.
Because I think, are probably the ones that are different.
That sounds fantastical.
All right. You want me to start?
So, let's start down with the Let's skip Nintendo DS and 3DS. Nobody cares about that. Let's start with the Nintendo Wii, the top three on Nintendo Wii.
The Wii!
Not a big surprise.
Well, let's see here. Of course, number one for the Nintendo Wii is The Legend of Zelda, Skyward Sword.
Oh, yeah. And have you played that?
I have a copy, and I have not played it yet.
See, this is my thing, is like... I like the Zelda games. They're not one of the ones that I jump on immediately. But, man, this game was, like, designed for the Wii. It's fantastic.
Good, because very few games are.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Have you played that?
I don't like Donkey Kong, period.
Oh, man.
I hate to say that, but I don't.
See, I like the Donkey Kong... The SNES game. Of course, I like the SNES ones. And this little homage to the older games that the systems have been doing is incredibly fun for me. There was the Kirby one that was, you know, it was the side-scrolling Kirby, so it was just like the old Kirby. Super Mario World, whatever the newest one was. That one there used a lot of... It was all side-scroller and it was four-player. I mean, and this Donkey Kong Country Returns was the same way, using the old game style. Just made it look a lot nicer. I love these games. I had so much fun with this stuff. There was one, a Mega Man one, that was supposed to be coming out, but it keeps going through development hell. But, man, if it comes out, that'd be amazing.
All right, and number three is Super Mario Galaxy 2.
And have you played that?
I have played that one.
And
it's okay. I'm if I want to get my Mario fix, I'll either go over to your house and hang out with you for a little while, or I'll play Super Mario Brothers either on the Wii or also on my DS.
See, I hate the Galaxy games. Never liked them.
I didn't hate it, but it didn't really hold my attention very well.
Yeah. Worth mentioning on this list, though, is that all these are relatively new games that came out this year, or, you know, very close. But look at number 10. Look at the 10th most rented game on Gamefly for Nintendo Wii.
Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
That game launched with it almost, you know. It came out like a few months after the launch.
Yeah.
That game's got some I mean, that is probably one of my favorite games for the Wii, but I mean, that's got some good staying power to it.
Heck yeah. It's a good point. I didn't even notice that. Wow. All right.
That's what I do.
Next up, PlayStation 3. there is absolutely no surprise here. The number one ranked title is Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception.
Which, I hate PlayStation 3. I'm not an Xbox fanboy or anything like that. I just have had lots of issues with PlayStation 3. And I will say that game there is amazing, though.
It is a pretty good game. Visually striking and has a great story, but I don't know. The story held my attention really well, and the gameplay was okay, but I never really got into games like Lara Croft or any of the Tomb Raider games or things like that, and this just reminded me a little too much of Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I mean, those games are incredibly popular, and they got their own fan base. It's like, you know, Resident Evil 5 does really well, but people that don't like Resident Evil aren't going to play that. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
So, I hated Resident Evil 5.
I don't
so
like the movement.
Hard.
The way they do movement at all, but yeah, it's exactly. not, it's just not my kind of game.
Exactly. Let's see here. Number two is Batman Arkham City.
Amazing, by the way.
Very much so. I couldn't put that one down once I started it. And here you go, Brandon. Number three, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah, well, you know, stupid people have money too.
Ugh, it's horrible. Some people just like simple gameplay mechanics and running around shooting things.
Simple is right.
And the single player game was not bad. It was really, really short, but it's not bad.
Innovation means taking risks.
They didn't do a lot of that.
They've never they did well with Call of Duty, and they said, let's make this look a little better, but keep the game exactly the same. And they just keep doing it. And don't and I know I get a lot of people out there that'll go, you didn't play, you don't know. Yeah, I have played. A lot of my family plays it, and they play it all the time around me, and I get to see it, and it's not my kind of thing.
See, I tell people all the time, anytime I have a gripe about any Call of Duty game, they have to let me voice my opinion, because I have played Call of Duty since it was Call of Duty on the PC only. I played it like a couple days after it came out. I found this new World War II shooter and started playing it, and have played every single version since.
Yeah, I
gripe if I want to.
I played Call of Duty for like the GameCube, or maybe it was Medal of Honor. Or Call of Duty was that big red one. Remember that?
Yeah, I think that was yeah. one of the Call of Duties.
So I played it back then, and because I was trying to show my old school gamer ways, I was trying to get the GoldenEye fix, because I love that game.
Oh, of course.
And like with the GameCube, no games quite jumped into that spot.
Which was a sad thing.
Yeah. So I played those games, and I've played them off and off. I just think first-person shooters are just – they're a mindless game, which is fine, because sometimes that's what you want. You just want to be mindless with your stuff, which is great. But people out there claiming these are the best games of all time, come on. Come on, really, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the gamers that think that they play these games, and that's it, and that means they're a gamer. Oh, yeah, I'm a gamer. I'm a hardcore gamer. And it's like, oh, what do you play? What have you played? Oh, I play Call of Duty. Oh, well, have you ever played any actual games from before, or is that all you do? You know, it's like someone saying, oh, I'm a nerd, and it's like, why are you a nerd? Well, I wear glasses.
No, it's you're like, a hipster.
Well, that doesn't make you a nerd. You know, we're proud geeks. We're proud of our geekdom.
Yeah, if you wear glasses, call yourself a nerd, and have nothing to back it up, you're a hipster.
Exactly. You know. I wear, you know what, right now I'm wearing a Power Rangers t-shirt.
I have nothing like that on.
Well, you wear plain black, so.
Yeah, but I am looking at a stuffed Captain Kirk doll and a pair of bright red Chuck Taylors.
I mean, you've seen my office. Yeah. My office is covered in action figures and toys. So.
Babes in Toyland.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm a proud geek. And, you know, if you call me a geek on the street, you better be a geek yourself, because that's our word.
That's awesome. who you calling geek? All right. Let's see here. Let's
jump over to the 360.
Woohoo!
Not a huge shocker here.
Well, yeah. Number one ranked title is Batman Arkham City.
As it should be.
Yes. Number two, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. I am really surprised that was not number one. But I think most of the people who wanted that game probably bought it, more than likely. Number three, this one is pretty nice, Dead Island. That doesn't surprise me in the least. That was a very good game.
Yeah, and I mean, it's on both the lists. It's up there, so.
Exactly. I'm surprised that Skyrim is not higher than number eight, though.
Skyrim, who would rent Skyrim, though?
Well, it's GameFly, though, so you can rent it for as long as you want.
Yeah, but, I mean, you'd have that game forever.
Well, yeah. I had Batman Arkham City for quite a while. All right, the cross-platform. These are the ones
we're
going to
go through.
Yeah,
we'll start with number 10 and work our way down on this one.
You mean up?
Yeah. Well, it's going down in numbers, but
it's
up
going
in popularity.
Up on the list. Let's see here. Number 10, Gears of War 3.
Not a Gears of War fan. I do love the art of it, and I like that they've got a good storyline that continues, but I've just never got into it.
Alrighty, and number 9, Madden NFL 12.
I don't play sports games. Do you?
That's funny. If I can't play a sport in real life, I don't play it on a game system. Call me weird. Anyway.
You're weird.
I know. That's what I said to call me. Number 8, Rage.
Yeah.
It was an okay game. It was very visually striking. It was entertaining, but it could have had a little bit more. For 3 discs, I could have gotten a smidge more out of it, you know. Number 7, Elder Scrolls V, Skyrim.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that at the end.
Currently draining my life force away. I'm thinking about what I've got to do right now in Skyrim.
Yeah, right now mine is paused so I can do this podcast. <That's> When I'm done, I'm getting right back on it.
That's awesome. Number 6, Saints Row, the 3rd. I have not played this. I played the first Saints Row. I want to try and play this one because it does look very entertaining.
Never played a Saints Row game. Ever.
First one wasn't bad.
Too much like Grand Theft Auto. Not a Grand Theft Auto fan.
Ah. All right. Number 5, Assassin's Creed Revelations.
This is a game series that I haven't played, and I don't know why, because it is kind of up my alley.
It kind of is, yeah.
But for some reason, I just have never got into it. Not sure why. I think it's mostly because when I play a fantasy game, I'm always like a barbarian. Like, I'm always the big, tough, I swing and I hit, and that's all I do. I go straight into it. And this game's all about being a rogue and sneaky, and I'm just not really good at that. So yeah. maybe that's the situation. I'm not sure.
We'll talk about your character in Skyrim later. I want to find out.
Oh, yeah.
I have played the other 2 Assassin's Creed games. They're both very good, amazing storytelling. A little slow in the beginning on both of them, though. That first half hour is rough to get through. I haven't played this one yet. I will probably give it a shot, though. I think I'm going to add it to my Gamefly queue after we're done here. Number 4, Battlefield 3. Actually, I have
pew,
this.
Pew, 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 pew.
I have this in my Gamefly queue. I think it's the next game to get sent to me. Number 3, Dead Island.
You know what, Dead Island? You know why I liked it? Because I like Dead Rising a lot because of kind of the open... It's like... It's that, you know where... what's it called? Left 4 Dead is fun because it's kind of like, go out and fight these zombies. You know, you shoot the zombies and everything. This one here really opened up and let you kind of be more realistic with it.
Yeah, exactly.
With guns and items. It took the best parts of Dead Rising, the best parts of Left 4 Dead, and added a massive map. So it's actually – those are really good games. Really fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed Dead Island quite a bit. Let's see here. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 takes up the number 2 spot.
You said duty.
And number 1 is Batman Arkham City. So
how about that calendar, man?
You know, at least Call of Duty didn't hit the 1 spot for you.
Who's your favorite Batman villain?
Oh, man. See, I'm old school. I happen to like the Joker quite a bit. unoriginal, but...
It happens. Sometimes the best are the best, you know what I mean?
Now, if you had to take me away, if you had to narrow down away from the Joker...
Yes.
My next favorite is the Riddler, because I love the Riddle section. I love the Riddle element to everything he does.
Interesting.
It's fantastic.
Batman villains all have a different psyche to them, and listening to people and choose who their favorite is actually quite interesting because it tells a lot about the person. Some little comic book psychology there. Like people that like Killer Croc or Clayface generally are people who don't really seem to think too much about their entertainment. Just kind of they're the action movie guys. They're the shooting game guys. They like the big strong characters. someone that likes the Joker is a little more open. It can kind of go either direction. It's just it's a classic, so things like that. But like people that like the Riddler, the Mad Hatter, tend to be thinking people because they like the idea of the character because it's thinking. People that like Two-Face or Ra's al Ghul tend to be people who really look for character instead, more character than anything else. Like the Riddler, his gimmick is what's cool, but yeah. Edward Nygma himself is kind of boring.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, but with Ra's al Ghul or Two-Face, their gimmicks are there. Ra's al Ghul's immortal. Two-Face does the coin and everything like that. But it's the character that's more interesting. So people that like those generally care more for people. There's actually a really interesting study. You can read about it. It's incredibly interesting. It breaks things down. And then, like, guys that like Catwoman generally have, like, some type of sexual frustration, and that's why they like Catwoman. But girls that like Catwoman like the empowerment of the issue. Girls that like Harley Quinn are more of the girls that kind of like being the second in the relationship, you know. They like relying on people.
I see. That makes
Batman,
sense.
Batman villains are all type of the psyche.
Very cool.
So when someone says, my favorite Batman villain's Killer Moth, you know what that means?
What?
They're insane. Run.
They like bright
Something
lights.
Is wrong with that person. Because Killer Moth is their favorite character. Is he in Arkham City?
Not to my knowledge. But yeah, there are I didn't a lot it, of so. Villains in Arkham City.
So if they do another Arkham, then like they're going to start scraping the bottom of the barrel. And Maxi Zeus is going to show up. And we're going to see... Yeah, Killer Moth and Maxi Zeus and KG Beast. There's some horrible, horrible characters.
That's awesome. I can't wait.
Of course, my favorite character is the poorly treated Ra's al Ghul. In the first game, he was a dead body the entire time that just disappears, and in this one, he's not much more. So
you fight him in Arkham City, and he's – I mean, he's not incredibly hard to beat, but he gave me a beating.
Yeah, he's – I don't know. I just really like the character. And I like that he knows who Batman is, and he's not out to destroy Batman. He's out to make Batman his. It's very interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Kind of refreshing.
Yeah, Batman. Batman is one of those characters. Everyone likes Batman. Even people that don't like comics, they like Batman.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the most liked superheroes there is.
Hey, so, let me ask you this real quick.
Yeah, what's up?
And this is probably more for the comic book podcast, but we can talk about it there too. I have a friend of mine who's a huge Superman fan.
Okay.
All right. Now, in 30 seconds or less, describe to me who you think would win in a fight between the Green Lantern and Superman.
It depends which Green Lantern, and it depends the rules of the fight.
No, is this absolutely no rules and any lantern you want.
To the death or to the just death. Stop them?
To the death.
Superman. I love Green Lantern. I'm the biggest Green Lantern fan, but... Unfortunately, if it's a to-the-death thing, Superman's speed and heat vision beat almost anything. Even if the lantern was quick enough, let's say it's the strongest lantern, which unfortunately is Kyle Rayner. Let's say it's Kyle Rayner at ion levels, which means when he was his most powerful. Even at those levels, the heat vision and speed combo, Superman could unrelentlessly just pile that on until he breaks through the – you know, the ring's got a limited amount of time that it can do things.
Yeah.
So it's
– Now, see, the first thing I thought was that Green Lantern would win because he could simply materialize kryptonite.
No. Kryptonite – you can't make anything that's an actual element. The only thing he can make is light constructs from the ring.
I see. You see, so this is why I asked you.
He could make kryptonite.
This is why I asked you, the Green Lantern fanatic.
And I mean, there's things if the lantern had a head start, so Superman didn't know that it was to the death, the lantern could put a shield around Superman that would shield out yellow sunlight. And if it was Kyle Rayner at his strongest, possibly put enough strength to the shield so Superman could not bust out, then Superman would eventually lose the power from the yellow sunlight and could be beaten. But Superman's speed and everything. It's like when people – the age-old Batman, Superman. It depends. Batman will win hands down anytime the fight is going to be a known fight. Like if Batman goes after Superman, he's going to win. If it's going to be just to stop one of them, Batman's going to win. But if it's to the death, Superman will always win because Superman can be miles away, heat vision to the head, Batman's dead.
Yeah, and he pretty much can't die, so.
Yeah, Superman's got way too – he's way too overpowered.
Yeah, that's why I don't really like Superman.
Yeah, anyway, there's only a few characters that can even give him a run for his money.
So. That's way off topic, but hey, you know you get.
Hey, you know what? There's Superman video games.
You get extra and little.
We're talking about Marvel versus DC, or we're talking about DC versus Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, it's true. Video game, and you know, if you listen to the gaming podcast or any of the podcasts for that matter, you get little extra nuggets like these for free.
You know what? Honestly, the superhero that could beat them all. I've thought about this numerous times. Either the Flash or Reed Richards.
Really?
Mr. Fantastic, yes.
Well, I can see
Mr. Fantastic. Technically, Mr. Fantastic is impossible to hurt.
Yeah.
Physically, you can't hurt him. Yes, he can be hurt with fire, things like that. But even so, he can take a lot of damage before he can even be stopped. And he's so intelligent, he will think of a way to do it. The Flash, on the other hand, is too fast, and he can do the quick vibrations and go through anything. Even Superman, he's been able to vibrate through Superman and pull things out of him. He could easily vibrate his hand through Superman's chest at super speed and rip his heart out.
Galima, shucksy day.
Yeah, exactly. If the Flash wasn't such a nice guy, he would be the most powerful superhero in the DC universe.
Humumsy bye. All right. Now, we're going to try to end each episode with a what are you playing this month section. Brandon, I'll let you go first. What are you playing this month?
Well, we've talked about it before, so we both kind of know. Skyrim, of course.
Yes, as am I.
So basically, I guess we'll talk about Skyrim. What are you on there?
I am primarily a mage. I dabble in a lot of destruction magic. Ice Spike is my prime spell. If I'm using a weapon, I use the either the Blade of Woe, or I've got a Skyforged Steel Sword that I use that's enchanted with fire damage. I also use a bow a lot. I have a glass bow that's enchanted with fire damage. I pick up any arrows I can use. Really, other than that, that's about it. I mean, I am the...
What's your race?
High Elf. Yeah, and I'm a High Elf. I'm the head of the Mages Guild, or the College of Winterhold.
Yeah.
I'm the head of the Dark Brotherhood, the Listener. I'm the head of the Thieves Guild, and I'm also the Harbinger of the Companions.
What level are you?
26, 27, somewhere in there.
Yeah. See, I had a much later start than you. I'm only level 16. I'm a Nord. Basically, I'm pure warrior.
Doing it Nord style.
Yeah. I'm wearing exquisite orc armor, head to toe. I have the exquisite dwarven mace and an exquisite elven bow. So right now at my level 16, I have these absolute strongest stuff I can forge. Because my main focus is one-handed combat and smithing, so I can make the most powerful armor myself. So
gotcha.
That's my big focus right now. And I've actually not even that far into the actual game, because I just run around. I discover everything. I try to discover every single place first, so then when I actually have to do missions in the game, pop, 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 just portal around. Nice. Much easier that way. I just walked to Winterhold, and that was insane.
That takes a long time. Did you run into any giants on your way?
Yeah. See, we had a conversation about this. When I was level 3, I stumbled into the tundra, and there was a giant there. And I was like, oh, well, I can shoot this giant a couple times and get around him. And The thing about giants is they are pretty quick. And in the tundra, which is an open plains, the mammoths join in and decide they're going to fight you as well, and all the other giants. So before you know it, I have a team of, I don't know, 3 giants and about 4 mammoths chasing me through the tundra, and I'm getting away. I mean, I'm almost away. Then I hit the mountain, and I can't climb fast enough and punt into the air. So of course, so.
And when you get hit in the crotch with the giant's club,
yeah.
Let me just say, it shows you yourself while you're still in the air. You know, you get a few seconds before you respawn. You don't hit the apex of your flight by the time it's time for you to respawn.
No.
You just keep going.
I went back to the tundra at level 10, and decided that I was going to go and fight another giant and show him who's boss. And I got him about down to half health at level 10, and they ended up, like, beating me. But now that I'm 16, I've put a lot of effort into my guy. I've got all the strength in the areas that I want to. Oh, I also practice speechcraft a lot because I like to get the cheapest deals and sell stuff. So, I mean, I'm really focusing on the character to be strong. One of my major goals is that I'm going to go kill a giant and a mammoth.
I just killed a giant the other day by accident. He attacked me.
Ah.
Did it with the magic fire arrows I did.
Well, that's what I'm playing.
And that's what I'm playing. All right.
Nice.
Well, that's about time for us. You guys can tune in next month for another episode of Brandon and Jesse's 8 Bits. Brandon, go ahead and tell the people where they can find, follow, and stalk you.
Well, I'm always I'm on Xbox Live. My gamer tag is Brandon W. Lobo. You can find me on there, and I'll play Skyrim. Every once in a while, I'll actually chat and talk. I'm always liking to join Xbox parties and talk and stuff. I don't really play with anyone else, but I will talk to you. You can follow me on Twitter, of course, at Brando Supreme, and follow me there, and I'll mention some every once in a while I mention little things about video games and stuff like that. So I'm quite the hoot. And then, of course, you can reach me at Brandon@8daysgeek.com. That'll be my email address. You can ask me any questions. You can suggest games. You can complain that I trashed Call of Duty. I don't care. Do whatever. if the email is interesting enough, we'll read it on the podcast. And we also have a phone number that we'll get to when Jesse starts. Woo-hoo. And you can actually leave messages, like voice messages, or send a text message to that number and discuss what's going on.
All right. Now, before I start, I'll go ahead and say that number. If you'd like to text or leave a voicemail for us, it's 754-273-6397.
Hold on. I had a dwarven helm stuck on my head. What'd you say?
The 754-273-6397. Woo-hoo. If you want to find, follow, and stalk me, I'm on Twitter at Pin of Doom. My email here is jesse@8daysageek.com. You can go to my about.me page. That's about.me/Jesse Miller. I think it's forward slash, right? Yeah. I had to renew my HTML in my head real quick. My gamer tag is Corvus85. That's CORVUS85. So go ahead and add me. I play games against anyone who really wants to. I play some Call of Duty, so all you Call of Duty guys, after you're done trashing Brandon, come on over, play some games. Other than that, I think we're done. Yeah. I think that first episode is in the bag.
All right.
So, Brandon, tell the good people goodbye till next month.
I bid you adieu. Game over.
Nice. And I'm going to go ahead and press pause. Beep-doo-beep-doo.